In this episode, we speak with Bill Lucchini, CEO of Nextech, the complete healthcare technology solution for specialty providers. The company services more than 16,000 physicians and over 60,000 office staff members in the clinical specialties of dermatology, ophthalmology, orthopedics, plastic surgery, and med spa. Bill's focus is on expanding the company's industry-leading product suite into a true end-to-end ecosystem designed specifically for specialty practices. He has spent his entire career in technology and software, most recently serving as CEO of DealerFX Group. Prior to that, he was with Sophos, OnForce, and Intuit. Nextech was recognized as one of the top 100 healthcare technology companies of 2023 by the Healthcare Technology Report. I am your host, RJ Lumba. We hope you enjoy the show. If you like the episode, click to follow.
RJ Lumba is the managing partner of GrowthCap and the executive chairman of Market Insight Media. He is the host of Growth Investor, a podcast featuring today's best investors, executives, and founders. In the minutes ahead, we'll uncover insights and strategies for accelerating growth and succeeding in business.
Bill, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It's a delight to be with you.
Yeah, happy to be with you, and thanks for having me.
I thought we'd kick off at kind of an interesting point in your career. It looks like you spent over a decade at Intuit. I saw a post that you did on Brad Smith, and of course, he's very well known for being an excellent leader. And I thought your post was very authentic and telling about who Brad Smith is. Of course, I've never personally experienced what it's like to work with someone like him, but would love to hear about what you learned about being a leader from Brad.
Yeah, interesting place to start off. And, you know, that just goes to show you the internet never leaves you behind. I forgot I had done that post, but I know the one you're talking about. Look, I spent my early career at Intuit. It was actually 17 years, so an incredibly long run at Intuit, and had the opportunity to work with a number of great CEOs and leaders, you know, Bill Campbell and Scott Cook and Brad and a number of others. That place is a great leadership factory. And I bring that up because each one brought a different style. And when Brad came in, the thing that he really did, his superpower, was he inspired the employees. We had come from a point where we had gotten really mechanically good at running our business and at producing software. That company was a machine. When Brad came in, he turned it into a machine with purpose, right? So he held up a vision of the future. He celebrated people. People wanted to work for Brad. They wanted to do their best for Brad. It was really inspiring for me personally, and it was inspiring to see how people came out of their shells and sort of the instant boost in productivity that just happened in the vicinity of Brad. He's an authentic human. You know, as you read anything about him lately, he is all in on West Virginia. Even when we were both living in Silicon Valley, he would tell his West Virginia stories, and he would pretend that he's just a simple West Virginia guy. Just far from the truth. He's a very sharp man. And, you know, I think his ability to connect with people, to celebrate the greatness in people, and to talk about who we could be together and really inspire people to do their best work was really one of the strongest things about Brad. He's just a good human being, and it's the kind of guy you want to be around.
Do you think that's something that can be learned? Like if you were someone that really paid close attention to what he did, would you be able to recreate that?
Look, you can't be Brad and you can't be something you're not. But, you know, I think we all go through careers and we learn a lot. You know, you start out your career and they teach you the mechanics of whatever you're doing. You're an engineer, you're a salesperson, you're whatever. And there's a lot of mechanics you have to work on, and you focus on that and doing what you're supposed to do. What Brad teaches you is don't forget you're a person as well, right? And that there's emotion involved and all those sorts of things. So I think the way my leadership changed based on working with Brad is, you know, is almost permission to unlock that part of yourself and add it into the toolkit to say, look, as a human, here's what I'm excited about. And, you know, and to remind you that when RJ does something fantastic in the business, stop and say, that was fantastic. It's not hard, but it's so important. And you see the value in it in creating a great company. And so, yeah, I think part of it can be learned. I'm never going to be able to be down home, West Virginia, folksy kind of guy. That's not who I am. But, you know, there's other things about me and I use those. So, yeah, I think there's a part you can learn and a part that is pure Brad.
Excellent. Well, you from Intuit, it looks like you went to OnForce for a COO level position, and then you spent some time at Sophos and then CEO of DealerFX, and then on to Nextech. Tell us about Nextech for the benefit of our audience, what it does. Obviously, it's a major company, but many in our audience may not know what it does and who it serves.
Yeah. So Nextech's a fantastic company. We work in the healthcare industry. We provide electronic medical record software, which if you're not in the space, when your doctor turns around and types some stuff into the computer, he's working on our software. Hopefully he's not turning his back to you. There's better ways to do it. But electronic medical records and also practice management software. So when you're checking in at the front desk, when you're checking out, when you're scheduling appointments, that's our software as well. So we do that for not for hospitals, but for private doctor's offices, particularly ophthalmologists, plastic surgeons, dermatologists, et cetera, things like that. And we're lucky to have number one or number two position in every market we compete in.
It's surprising that kind of this solution is still, you know, being talked about. You would figure like by now, every practice would have kind of the Microsoft equivalent, right? Like everyone would have the same solution. Is it the case that it's still a fragmented market?
It is still a fragmented market. And look, you know, I once joined a team where they said, hey, look, we've built all the features. We're kind of done. And I was astounded because I've spent a career in software. I have never seen anybody finish a piece of software. There is always new technology, new innovation. The market's always changing. When I think about what our practices are dealing with, I don't know about you, but going to a doctor today, my expectations are very different than 10 years ago. There's been a ton of change in how we interact with the doctor's office. We book our appointments online. Some of us expect to be able to text our doctor's office. That is actually not very well adopted, but it should be, and we should be getting there. All those expectations have changed. The regulatory environment has changed. Unfortunately, a ton of overhead, but some actual value creation in the regulatory environment to protect patients and to try and drive better outcomes. And then insurance is incredibly complicated, and that market has been changing a lot. So when you think about, should the software be commoditized? No, because the market is moving so fast. We're seeing a lot of players get left behind. We're seeing some leap ahead. Luckily, we're on the good side of that. We'd try and stay that way. And I think based on the kind of company we've built and the culture we have, it's the kind of culture that will continually adapt and innovate for our customers. And I think that's why we're on the right side of some of the changes that have been happening. So I think you'll continue to see a lot of innovation. We have seen a lot of consolidation as well. I think that's driven by a lot of the early companies in failing to adapt to the changing environment and sort of falling off. So it's an exciting market. And, you know, healthcare is a really interesting place that needs a lot of help to go well. It's a complicated place in the US market.
And I presume that Nextech has been one of the players that's been acquiring some of the others, maybe certain solutions, maybe part of it's just, you know, expanding your existing footprint. Can you tell us a little bit about the path that Nextech took to scale?
Yeah, you know, look, I think early days when Nextech was a startup, a lot of that core technology built from the ground up, bootstrapped, and really based on a deep understanding of what doctors needed in the exam room and how to run a practice. Then there's been a few key acquisitions, mostly, you know, at least a half a dozen years ago, that formed the basis of the broader Nextech, sort of, you know, that got us into some new specialties and things like that. And a lot of organic growth on top of that. Most recently, we acquired a company called TouchMD. It was about a year ago. That was a relatively small tuck-in acquisition. But what that bought us is best-in-class sort of consultation solution. In some of our practices, like plastic surgery, where there's a reconstructive plastic surgery side of the specialty, and there's an elective side of the specialty. On the elective side, there's a lot of consultation that goes in. And so this is a best-in-class solution where you can really have a discussion with your doctor with content in front of you that's explaining fairly complex procedures and options, and you can make choices with your doctor, take it home on your mobile device, discuss it with your family, decide what you want to do, all that sort of thing. It's a really fantastic solution, and it's done incredibly well for us as a way to grow the company and grow our relationship with a lot of our practices.
And speaking of innovation, how much is AI playing a role into your product roadmaps?
That's funny. I just wrote a blog post this morning about AI because my team, we're spending all this work on AI internally. And I have been a curmudgeon saying, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it until we release something. My team has just been hammering me saying, yeah, all our competitors are talking about it. You got to talk about it. The problem I've been having with AI is that I think most of what we hear about in the market is what I call AI theater. People using smoke and mirrors to say, here's some AI stuff that either is really just software that's been around for 10 years that they now labeled AI, even though there's no AI technology in it, or it's sort of experimental software that does a good demo, but doesn't really work. The fact is, I think, and we at Nextech think, that generative AI is a leap forward in what AI is capable of. Machine learning is incredibly impressive. It's also really hard to implement. You need teams of data scientists and models and training and labeling of data. And it's a high bar to get over to deliver value with machine learning. Generative AI is much more approachable. We think it's going to have a huge impact on the healthcare market. We've got some exciting stuff that we've done. We think there's real potential there. There's also real concern about making sure we get it right. To the degree that this is affecting healthcare decisions for doctors and patients, you can't be 90% right. That's not good enough. And we've got solutions that get it 90% right. It's pretty exciting, but you can't launch those. So we're getting closer to being able to deliver some things with generative AI that we think will really increase productivity and allow providers to focus more on the patient and less on the documentation. It's pretty exciting stuff. But I think we need a little more time before we're going to go out there and say, hey, we're ready and you should try this.
Now, switching gears a little bit, can you tell us about your history with capital providers? And then we'll talk a little bit more about the value that they've helped provide.
Yeah, I mean, history-wise, you know, I've worked in public companies, venture capital-backed companies, and for the last probably 10 years of my career, private equity-backed companies. They all have different dynamics, and within those private equity backers, different feels in terms of, you know, where they try and create value, how you partner, and things like that. There's a lot of pros and cons to each model. I've spent the last 10 years with private equity-backed companies because I believe the pros outweigh the cons. The value proposition of private equity is sort of the best in the market right now. You know, the tyranny of quarterly reports in a public company can really make it difficult to focus on long-term value creation. And the churn and burn sort of must get a 10x return in venture capital can lead to some maybe not constructive decisions sometimes. Look, I don't take anything away from companies that are in that space or participants in that space have clearly created great value on both of those models. For me, I think private equity is more focused on what I like to do, which is steadily create value and build a big, long-term, successful company.
Mm-hmm. And currently, I believe you're owned by TPG. How would you compare their approach, their style, maybe versus other PE firms?
Yeah, well, it's early days. You know, I've been working with the TPG folks probably for 6 or 8 months, but really owned by TPG for the last 10 or 11 weeks. So it's still early days. I would say super pleased to have TPG as our backer. Clearly one of the most sophisticated private equity companies on the planet, one of the largest on the planet. And they've been doing everything I hope for in a private equity company, which is saying, how can we help? How can we accelerate? We know you guys are running the company. We have a perspective from running a large portfolio where we could see a lot of things. We have the ability to recognize things we've seen in other companies, which we'll point out and help with. But they understand the division of, look, we want you to run this thing and we want to help and accelerate and we'll push and ask questions in various ways. And so it's been a really nice partnership. They've also helped us recruit a really great board of directors. We've got some incredible talent on the board. They've been adding a lot of value already just in my conversations with various board members on different topics. The expertise that they bring to the table and the years of experience has been super valuable. So I'm pretty excited about TPG. We're 11 weeks in, 12 weeks in, so we'll see how it pans out over the long term. But they're hitting the most important thing for me, which is I want to create a great company over the long term, innovate for customers, deliver value, get paid for it, and create a good financial outcome, a set of financials for the company that makes it a viable, strong company for the long term.
Excellent. We're coming up on the tail end of our conversation. I do have two questions I like to ask. One is, can you tell us about a person who has had a profound influence on you?
Yeah. From a career perspective, I would pick out Craig Carlson. So there's a bunch of CEOs I've worked with who have had a huge impact on me. Early days at Intuit, I worked for a guy named Craig Carlson. He's currently a CEO of Carbon 3D, a 3D printing company. Everywhere he's gone, he's created some of the best product teams I've ever seen, whether that was at Intuit, or then he went to Tesla, or now at Carbon 3D. He has a way of really deeply understanding the customers, creating teams who are fanatical about customer engagement and research and sort of a visceral understanding of what customers feel in their day-to-day. And then taking top-tier technology and figuring out how to bend it to his will and make it do amazing things and create differentiated products. I think the technology part of it is really interesting, and I learned a lot from him. But the thing that was probably more impressive was the way he focused on team building and the way he focused on creating that customer empathy and maniacal customer focus. Those were very influential on me. And when I was a younger guy and impressionable, he molded the clay. And that is a core part of who I am now.
Last question. Can you tell us about a charity, cause, or other endeavor that you're passionate about?
It's funny. I had one answer, and then my sister has just been calling me up and pushing me on this one. And I think it's really interesting. And it's Tunnels to Towers. And it's this really interesting charity where it's based on 9/11. And you had all these firefighters and first responders and things. And as we all hear from time to time, and probably not enough, that a lot of these folks are struggling and they're getting somewhat forgotten. You know, it's painful to think about. And you think about folks who lost the primary earner in their family, and they have mortgages, and they have kids who need to go to college and things like that. And so this charity, it is doing things like paying for mortgages or building smart homes that deal with people's disabilities so that they can get around the house. You know, a fascinating charity. My sister would be very happy because she's raised it to me like three or four times, and she finally pushed me enough that I dug in. And I think she's right. I think it's a pretty fantastic charity. So that is the one that is currently top of my mind.
Well, we'll definitely be sure to include a link to the charity. Sounds great. I'm glad you brought it up. Well, Bill, I want to thank you again for taking the time. This has been a great conversation. I know our audience will find this very insightful.
Yeah, RJ, it's great to talk with you, and I appreciate the invite, and easy to talk about some of my favorite topics. So thanks for the time.